The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Some Pharisees approached Jesus and tested him, saying, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause whatever?" He said in reply, "Have you not read that from the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, man must not separate.'" They said to him, "Then why did Moses command that the man give the woman a bill of divorce and dismiss her?" He said to them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts. Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, marries another, commits adultery." His disciples said to him, "That is the case of a man with his wife. It is better not to marry." He answered, "Not all can accept this word, but only those to whom that is granted. Some are incapable of marriage because they were born so. Some because they are made so by others. Some because they have renounced marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Whoever can accept this ought to accept it." The Gospel of the Lord. This passage in Matthew chapter 19 is probably the most important passage in the Bible on marriage and what constitutes marriage, probably in the Bible. So maybe remember that Matthew chapter 19, just 10 verses. And those 10 verses, you have three different ideas. First is the sexual identity of every person. Second is what constitutes marriage in the eyes of God. And third would be what is called the charism of virginity or celibacy for the kingdom of God. In those 10 verses, I would love to spend a whole hour on this topic, as I often do in my talks that I give in the morning, but that won't be the case. So what I'll do is I'll pull out one idea to whet your appetite, and then hopefully you'll be able to go deeper in this topic. Right before Mass, a woman asked me to offer a special intention in reparation for abortion, which I will do in this Mass. Abortion is the first and most important moral topic in our country as well as the whole world. That's the number one. The second is the first part of the Gospel today. And it's the confusion over sexual identity. We have in this country, which is very strong, a very strong agenda to promote the LGBT agenda. It's very militant, very strong, very well organized. And those who are promoting it are a minority, but they have a stronghold in politics as well as in Hollywood. So they manage political power as well as the mass media. And that's huge, the fact that they've got so much power over two of the most important institutions in our country, the mass media and politics. They can do a lot of evil. So, what do we have here? Jesus said very clearly, God created what? God created man and woman. Created man and woman, boy and girl. So boy and girl is a biological reality that comes from God. Very clear. What does the LGBT and the gay, lesbian agenda, what do they, and the transgender mentality, what do they promote? That sexual identity is not a biological reality that comes from God, but is a mere human construct, such that you're not born a boy or a girl, but you decide who you are when you get old enough. And that's what being taught in the modern educational system, already starting in elementary school. In middle school, even more so. In high school, it's flagrant. In college, it's fully blown in college. So after abortion, this is the most serious moral problem in our country, because abortion destroys the baby, whereas the transgender LGBT agenda destroys the family. So one destroys the baby before the baby is born, that's abortion. The other destroys the family. You don't have to have a doctorate from Harvard or Princeton or Yale to know this. When the family is disintegrated, it's a matter of time that the society is going to go down the drains. So our society is in danger. It's in danger. Okay, we have a lot of parents here. Some grandparents. What can you do to save your children? Because you're responsible for your children. If you just sit back and you sit on your hands playing tic-tac-toe, that's not going to cut the cake. We usually were too passive. Whereas those who are promoting evil are very aggressive. Very aggressive and well organized. We're very passive, kind of mousy, timid. So how many parents here? How many grandparents? Quite a few. So let me give you a few options. Are you listening? Okay, this is a very valid option that you have to consider. Homeschooling your children. You hear me? Homeschooling, you have to think about that. And they're really good homeschooling programs. There's Colby, there's Seton. Those are Catholic homeschool programs that are very, very, very good. Now, I've heard the objections to homeschooling. One of the objections is that it stunts what is called socialization. We have a word in New York for that. It's a lot of baloney. A lot of baloney. Quite the contrary, if you send your kids to a public school, they're at the mercy of the teaching, but also they're at the mercy of the other students, as well as bullying. Bullying is a very common phenomenon in which young people think about committing suicide because they don't want to be bullied at school. But also the socialization process is the exact opposite. Because if you go to public school, you can be thrown into a pack of wolves. Whereas homeschool, you can choose, help your children to choose their friends. So it's quite the contrary. It's quite the contrary. I've heard that. You're going to be stunting the socialization process of the child. A lot of baloney. A lot of baloney. Okay, the second option is this. Private Catholic schools or good public Catholic schools, parochial schools. You got the private and you got the parochial. Let me tell you what happened. About 40 years ago, my mother, who has 9 children and 39 grandchildren, that's a huge family, huh? My mother, having a big family, could always smell a skunk a country mile away, whereas the other mothers were naive, living in no man's land. Right away, when there was the liberal education, my mom picked it up way before any other mother. Living out the sacrament of matrimony for her children. So she and my father, with really good parents, they decide that they're going to build a private Catholic school. So it was built, and a couple years ago it was declared the best Catholic school academically in New Hampshire. The best. Now I have another brother who's got 8 children, who lives in Portland, which is about 100 miles away, in the same state. So what did he do? He pulled his resources and built a school that one of you actually visited, St. Patrick's Academy. He built a Catholic school in 10 months. Usually takes 10 years. He built it in 10 months. Where Catholic schools are closing during the pandemic, he doubled the enrollment, and there has to be a waiting list of those who can get into a school. Why? Because he's got 8 children and he does not want to throw them to the dogs, to the wolves. So those are two options. A third option is you allow your children to go to public school, but you have to do weeding. So every day you have to ask your children, what are they learning and you got to pull out the weeds. And tell them what they're listening to, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. That could end up by being very, very frustrating and very tiring. So we have to be very clear and firm on what is called our sexual identity. God created man and woman, boy and girl. A boy cannot become a girl, and a girl cannot become a boy. Even though they say they'll go to one of those hospitals and they'll have a sex change, you really can't change your sex. If you're born a boy, you're a boy. If you're born a girl, you're a girl. So this is a very, very, very serious reality in our country. Very serious. Where we're going to be in 4 or 5 years, only God knows. But we have to do all we possibly can to defend the unborn child and to defend the family. Our society depends upon defending the most vulnerable, the unborn baby, and defending the basic building block of society, which is the family. Amen.